Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When God made Adam and Eve, he made them in his own image and likeness, which, as you may recall from your catechism lessons, means that they had true knowledge of God and were truly like God in righteousness and holiness. One of the basic components of that righteousness is love. And one of the basic traits of love is that it focuses outward, away from oneself. Love focuses on God, who He is, what He has said and done, what He thinks, what He wants done. And love focuses also on the neighbor, outward from oneself, on what he or she needs, what he or she is suffering, what benefit he or she could receive. That's what love does by nature, the love that is like God. Love doesn't waste time dwelling on how great I am. Love also doesn't spend time dwelling on what a failure I am, or on what I need, or on what I want, or on what I'm suffering. It doesn't have time to dwell on those things because it's always focused outward. There are too many other people to focus on, and there's always God to focus on. What does God say? What would help the people around me? So, as you can see, love, always outward focused, is by nature what we call humble. And that's how God is by nature too, and how He made us to be. Always focused outward. But since the fall into sin, that isn't who we are. One of the most basic effects of sin on our race is that it has taken that outward focus of love and twisted it inward, so that by nature we spend most of our time worrying about what I think, what I want, what I need, what I'm suffering, what I'm going through, how great I am, or what a failure I am, or worthless. One of my professors at college used a helpful phrase for this inward focus. He called it navel gazing. Staring at your own belly button. We're all prone to navel gazing. It's one of the defining characteristics of sinners, in fact. But Jesus wasn't a sinner, wasn't prone to navel gazing. His focus was ever outward toward his Father and toward the rest of humanity. And he shows us in today's gospel the importance of an outward focus for God's people. It was a Sabbath day. Jesus had been invited to a meal at the house of one of the Pharisees on that Sabbath day. The Pharisees were notoriously focused inward, focused on themselves, how obedient they were, or how great they were. There was a sick man there who had dropsy, and Jesus planned to heal him, but everyone was watching him closely, and the Pharisees had been already accusing him and condemning him for daring to heal people on the Sabbath. So first he wanted to guide the Pharisees and the other guests to understand the outward focus that God's law demands. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He asked. Because, of course, God's commandment commanded rest on the Sabbath day. Well, they remained silent, not a word. They understood the Sabbath to be about themselves, their obedience to God's commandment to rest on that day. And if they had any outward focus at all, the outward focus of the Pharisees was to make sure that everyone else was obeying the commandment as well as they were. They didn't want to see any work done by anyone on that day, especially any healing. And they often, as already mentioned, criticized Jesus for healing on the Sabbath, but they couldn't come right out and say that they didn't want him to heal the poor man, or they would have looked just as mean-spirited as they actually were. So they remained silent. Jesus healed the man and let him go. And then he asked them, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" But that would be work, to pull out your animal from the ditch on the Sabbath day, and yet they all would have done it, mainly because if it was their own animal, they would lose out if that animal were injured or died in the pit. And so to help themselves, they would have pulled the animal out. How much more shouldn't they have been interested in helping their neighbor on the Sabbath day? In fact, the Sabbath commandment didn't only permit healing on the Sabbath, it demanded healing on the Sabbath if healing was in your power to do. Because the Sabbath was never intended for you to focus on your rest and your obedience to God's commandment. It was always intended as that one day a week where you weren't supposed to focus on yourself and your chores and your work, but you were to be focused outward on your workers so that they could rest, on your family so that they could rest from their work, even on your animals so that they could rest from their work at least one day, and as the scripture said, so that you could help the needy. Focus not on your work, but on their needs on that day, while also focusing on God and hearing His word on that one day. It's what the Sabbath was all about all along. So Jesus' kindness and compassion for the man with dropsy show us what true, humble, outward-focused love toward the neighbor looks like. And at the same time, it highlighted the self-centeredness and inward focus of the Pharisees. Then we come to the second part of our gospel. At the same meal, Jesus noticed how the guests chose the best places for themselves. In their culture, the seating arrangement at a banquet said something about how important or how unimportant a guest was. And all these guests seemed to think of themselves as more important than the rest, as deserving of the best spot available. Again, focused inward on their own importance. But where should they have been focused? As Jesus reveals in the parable he told of the guests at the wedding feast, they should have been focused on the one who invited them to the feast in the first place. The host of the banquet is the one who gets to decide the relative importance of each of his guests. He's the one you should be focused on. And since God is the host of the heavenly banquet and the king of his kingdom, which is the Holy Christian Church, he will determine where each one belongs. Jesus tells us what it is that pleases him and displeases him. It displeases God when we exalt ourselves, when we raise ourselves up in his presence, when we put ourselves ahead of others, when we make ourselves the judges of others or of ourselves. "Leave that to me," he says. "Leave it to me to decide, leave it to me to be the judge, because I am the judge, and I will determine where each one belongs. As for you," Jesus says, "go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.'" Well, how do you choose the lowest place before God? It isn't about what we might call having a low self-esteem so that you think you're just worthless, so that you think of yourself as meaningless, so that you think of yourself as just a failure. It's not about being depressed. It's not about hating yourself. In fact, those things are that inward focus that God doesn't want in the first place. Choosing the lowest place means to do sincerely what you did this morning when you confessed your sins before God. That you are a poor, miserable sinner who has justly deserved God's temporal and eternal punishment. That means that you admit that you're no more worthy of His grace and mercy than anyone else. In fact, you see yourself as chief of sinners. That goes contrary to what our sinful nature wants and tends to do. The most natural thing for us to do is to choose some place in the middle. No, I don't deserve the very best place. I know that. But surely I also don't deserve the lowest place before God, because there are way many people worse than I am. So I'll just find a place somewhere in the middle and I'll be safe. But Jesus says, no, that's very dangerous. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. No, he says, go down and sit in the lowest place. Admit before God and man that you are the least deserving, because you haven't maintained the outward focus on God and your neighbor that God has always wanted and that defines who God is, not even close. You've spent more than a little time focused on what you need, on what you want, on how you've been treated, how you're suffering, what you deserve, how great you are, or how worthless you think you are. It's time to let God be the judge. And that means lowering yourself all the way down to the bottom of the heap before Him. For those who do, Jesus makes an amazing promise. He who humbles himself will be exalted. There are no ifs or maybes about that promise. Admit your unworthiness before God. Confess your twisted inward focus. Look to God, not for recognition of how worthy you are, but only for His mercy in Christ Jesus. And God will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will forgive you your sins and give you a place of honor in His kingdom, a good place, the right place, a place of His choosing, but always a place with Him. And He'll do all this because Jesus, your substitute, maintained His outward focus on God and on His neighbor for you, in your place. He maintained it all the way through Holy Week and all the way up to the cross, never flinching, never crying out, "What about me? What about what I deserve?" It was all, every moment of it, every drop of blood spent yearning to fulfill His Father's will and to procure mankind's salvation. As a new person in Christ, lifted up by God the Father in forgiveness, lifted up in His heart and in His home and in His kingdom, the example of Jesus is the one that you have been called to imitate. As Paul said in the epistle, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There it is, the outward focus on your neighbor, and especially on your fellow Christian. Now, it's hard not to worry about yourself. It's hard not to focus on your own successes or on your own failures. It's hard to look up away from your belly button. But God, right now, is gently lifting up your head to stop worrying about yourself, to stop complaining, to stop seeing the people around you, your family, your church, and your neighbor as somehow in competition with you, but to start seeing them in their needs, seeing them in their suffering, seeing them in the things that they would benefit from. And he lifts your head even higher than that to see him and to know that Christ, your Savior and your God, to know that God, your Father, is not focused on himself at all and is not only focused on the other people around you, but in fact is focused on you. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And that includes you, obviously. You focused on him, he focused on you, with the promise to raise you up and give you all you need. What need do you have to focus on yourself? Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.